I still had another week and a half to go of my Churchill Fellowship, and none of my family were aware, or apart from my husband and my two boys, no one else was aware that I'd applied, let alone got it. So it was all a big sort of shock. So I came home, I was back in Brisbane for a week after the fellowship finished, and then started up here in June of last year and hit the ground running. We had a dig within the first 2 weeks of me starting, a big week-long dig. And it's just been go, go, go ever since. And Ben, I tell you, it's just magical.
And hit the ground running, she certainly did. Michelle Johnson fell in love with marine fossils whilst at the Brisbane show. Wind it forward to now, she's now the curator and interpretive manager for Kronosaurus Corner, this fantastic museum in the heart of Outback Queensland.
You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. For hundreds of ideas, free experiments and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. And now, here's your host, Ben Newsome.
Yes, welcome again to another Physics Ed Podcast. Hey, big week again this week. We are speaking with Michelle Johnson, who is a highly experienced marine reptile paleontologist who very much cares about a marine reptile. She's been working on the Kronosaurus, and she got awarded a Churchill Fellowship in 2016 to not only investigate international large marine reptile fossil records, but she got to look at remote paleotourism. And from us, from an education point of view, this is highly exciting because she can get you in amongst the fossils with your students. How cool is that? Today is certainly about following your passion.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast.
Thank you so much, Ben. It's a really, really delightful to be here.
I was so stoked that Deb put me in touch with you. Now, in case our listeners haven't listened, there was an episode we did previously with the Gympie Bone Museum. Deb and Jamie Cook, they're doing this awesome stuff in Gympie, getting a regional museum up off the ground. But Deb referred me to Michelle, and Michelle's been kind enough to donate a Friday morning, and which is very, very cool. Hey, Michelle, what do you get up to so people know?
So I'm the curator at Kronosaurus Corner, which is a marine fossil museum out in outback Queensland. So we're in Richmond, which is halfway between Townsville and Mount Isa. And it's perhaps the biggest marine reptile or marine fossil museum in Australia. It's all local stuff that we've got, local stuff that's been found by the graziers and members of the public, just like our listeners, and it showcases those fossils, and it also helps people with finding their own fossils, and we do some education stuff with schools as well.
How do you end up being a curator of museum in the middle of outback Queensland? How did that actually happen?
Well, it's a crazy, crazy story. So let's jump back to 2005. I was at the Brisbane ECHA, which is like our big agricultural show, and I had my two young sons with me. They were 6 and 3 at the time, and they wanted to know about this ammonite. Now, an ammonite's a big, round, circular creature. It's like a big shell. I think the fossil was the size of a truck tire, and we were a little sort of daunted because it was either talk to this group of CWA ladies, so the Country Women's Association ladies, or this grazier about this fossil. So we talked to this grazier, and he said, come out to Richmond, you can find your own fossils, we'll show you a good time, it's a really great place to be. So let's fast forward to 2009. We finally got out here, my husband and the two boys. I personally fell in love with the area. I wanted to live out here. It's just beautiful, simple lifestyle. We've got a town of about 700, 800 people. But being married to a grown-up, my husband said, no, we're not moving out. It's like, I don't like it. So we compromised, and the compromise was that I could come out as often as we could afford to, which was 5 times within that first year. So 2010, the biennial fossil festival was on, and I dragged the family up there to Richmond for that. We were still living in Brisbane. And I met a guy called Colin McHenry who just finished his PhD on the Kronosaurus. And as a family, we really sort of gelled with him. He had kids my age, and you know, it was really good. And I said to him, mate, how did you do your PhD with little kids? And he said, oh, look, it was easy. I don't joke. That was his quote. I had that. It was easy. And he invited me to study with him at Monash. And it's like, hey, mate, I'm just a nurse. And so here we are. Me with my nursing background was studying a master's looking at the skull anatomy of this Kronosaurus. Life kind of got in the way. I had a life-threatening accident on a quad bike out here in Richmond, in which I kind of had to save my own life, and it was a bit sort of traumatic. And so life was put on hold from the paleontology perspective for a couple of years. But once I'd sort of got on the right road again, I just kept taking opportunities that were given to me. I did some research assistant work with a fellow at UQ, the University of Queensland, looking at gastropods, so little tiny shells. I went on digs and just was really enthusiastic. And I had this really crazy dream that I wanted a Churchill Fellowship to go overseas to have a look at the large marine reptile fossils and remote paleotourism. One of the problems with marine paleontology is that it's not considered as sexy as dinosaurs. Everyone wants to study the dinosaurs. They're so cool. Woo-hoo. But no one wants to do the marine reptiles. So in 2016, I put in an application for this Churchill Fellowship, thinking it'd take me, you know, 5 years to get it. But no, they gave it to me there and then. Or not there and then, but excuse me. I was successful with the first year. So I came up to Richmond to collect some samples of rock to take overseas as gifts, because the fossils out here are just beautiful. And there's a particular place that I like, that you just turn the rocks over and there's fossils there. So I wanted to take some of that rock over as gifts. So I met with the mayor of Richmond, John Wharton. He actually asked me to be an ambassador for the town, which was a really, really big privilege. And we discussed setting up a twinning with Richmond and Lyme Regis in the UK, which is where sort of marine paleontology sort of started with Mary Anning back in the day. So that was something I took pretty seriously. And when the position for curator came up whilst I was overseas, and so I put my application in thinking, look, you know, at worst case scenario, you know, I don't get it, and it's interview experience or application experience. But I actually got an interview, and I interviewed for an hour over the phone from the Galapagos Islands of all places.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty, pretty amazing. And was told a couple of days later that I got the job. The only problem was they wanted me to start ASAP, but I still had another week and a half to go of my Churchill Fellowship. And none of my family were aware, or apart from my husband and my two boys, no one else was aware that I'd applied, let alone got it. So it was all a big sort of shock. So I came home. I was back in Brisbane for a week after the fellowship finished, and then started up here in June of last year. And hit the ground running. We had a dig within the first 2 weeks of me starting, a big week-long dig. And it's just been go, go, go ever since. And I tell you, it's just magical. It's wonderful.
You strike me as someone who just goes, you know what, I'm just going to jump in the deep end and try and swim as best I can.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's pretty much how I go, yeah. And most of the time, you know, I swim. I haven't drowned just yet. I don't plan on drowning, but you've just got to give life a go. You really, really do.
No, I totally respect that. And actually, if anyone's actually curious, I mean, definitely worth checking out the churchilltrust.com.au and just checking out what that's all about. I was lucky enough to be involved with that for video conferencing in science education, but there are lots of different ways you can get involved and travel the world and check all that stuff out. It's awesome. And actually just thinking, so obviously, yeah, you see this ammonite It's awesome at the Ecker. It's yeah. Very cool. Seriously, a truck-sized ammonite's massive. I've only ever seen those ones that are about the size of your hand.
Yes.
But a proper one like that, that's insane. And if you're wondering what the ammonites are, I think like curly shell and looks like an octopus coming out, but it's definitely not related to an octopus. But it's a cool thing to check out. But were you always into fossils and rocks and things as a kid, or is it something that grew up with you as you went along?
No, it just sort of, it was like a light bulb or a switch turned on. Pretty much from that moment at the Ecker, my boys are, you know, the little sort of, they were really nerdy when they were little and they wanted to know about different things. And in order for me to, in order for them to find stuff out, I had to find it out as well. And it just captivated me. It really, really did. Wasn't interested at all when I was little. It just sort of happened in my 30s. I can't explain it.
But what I love about this sort of thing is that that means that passion, that drive, all that energy is going to be put into this museum in Richmond, which is fantastic. Because not only are you the curator, you also have to work as the interpretive manager, which means how do people perceive and understand the stuff that's in the museum? And I mean, I know you've only just started. I mean, I get that you're still finding your feet in some way. But I mean, what's it like to create? Because I've never done it. Like, what's it like to create museum quality exhibits and things so that the public can understand it, whether they're young, old, or in between?
It's really, really exciting. And it's something I take very, very seriously, because I think all too often the museums are too sort of stuffy and sort of scientific. I think you need to appeal to the general public. So, for example, we've got some fossils here that are from a cameroid, which is a fish or a shark actually that lived at the bottom of the ocean, and instead of having teeth like, you know, the normal sharks sort of do, it's got these dental plates, and we're finding lots and lots of those at the moment, so much so that I'm creating a new exhibit. Last August I arrived back from lunch to find these two ugliest looking mummified fish just sitting on my lab table. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what are these? But one of my volunteers had actually sent up from south east Australia, down near the New South Wales Victoria border, he'd actually sent up a modern day cameroid. I think that it was, can't remember the exact name of it, but it's like a monkfish or a ratfish. Right. It's got these exact same dental plates. It's got the dorsal spine that contains venom. It's essentially a modern day version of our fossils. So at the moment I'm creating the interpretative part of that exhibit. I've got the fossils ready to go. I've got this, I've affectionately called him Stinky Fish. he doesn't smell that bad. He was actually mummified using the methods that the Egyptians used. So this gentleman's taken a great deal of time and consideration to prepare this for me. It's very, very special. So at the moment I'm just going through and finding information about the current fish, extent or the living species, and doing a comparison between the current species and the extinct fossil record. I do a lot of comparative anatomy, and I think that helps people generally to understand and interpret these fossils. Another example is that I've collected a freshwater crocodile and processed its skull, so I've got the bones and the teeth and the scutes, and the teeth are quite similar. The jaw is quite similar to a pterosaur tooth, a pterosaur jaw, which we've found specimens of as well. And then the scutes. Well, the scutes are very similar to the scutes that our ankylosaur, or our armoured dinosaur, has. It's been recently renamed as Cunbarosaurus. You might have known it as Minmai.
Oh, yeah.
But what I want to do is actually put the scutes from this crocodile out on display so that the members of the public can actually touch and feel the scutes so that they can get a better appreciation of the Minmai, or the Kumbarosaurus, sorry. It'll always be Minmai to me.
Yeah, I know. It's a cute little thing too.
Oh, it is. But just so that it's another little link between fossil and the general public understanding what it is about the fossil that's so special.
Absolutely. When just looking at your website, I mean, I want to go out to Richmond. I haven't had a chance to yet, so I'm going to say yet for good reason. I'd love to go check it out. But the fact that the kids can, and adults and everyone else can get right up close with that Kronosaurus is really well lit up with protective stuff in front of it, so that we don't get too close to it. But the fact that you've got these events coming on with digging at dusk and digging at dawn, I mean, that's a lot of fun. I mean, how do you get involved in that type of thing?
So if you come out to Richmond, we'll show you a good time, and I promise that you'll find fossils that you can keep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, absolutely. I do ask that if you find something that's significant, that you donate it to the museum, and we acknowledge that donation in many, many ways, and it's done through appropriate channels. You're more than welcome to come back and visit your fossil as well.
Yeah.
But digging at dusk and digging at dawn, it depends on the time of year. At the moment, with Easter is being the kickoff of the tourism season, we're about to kick off digging at dusk. And so you come to the museum, you pay your money, and I take you out to the public dig pits. It includes your dig pit fossicking permit, which you can otherwise get at the museum here. And I actually teach you methods as to how to find your own fossils. There's a certain way. Well, you can't. There's many, many different ways. So you can either go out and potluck, or you can come with me and I'll teach you the way that that has been proven successful in finding some of our really, really big specimens. So you never know what you're going to find.
That's awesome, because, I mean, I've been able to get involved with the Australian Age of Dinosaurs digs at one point. Jesus, gosh, I was only up there recently and I realized it was 6 years ago.
I'm out again.
It's unreal. I mean, have you had a chance to have any school groups do that, or is it mainly adults?
Well, I'm actually in the process. We've started up a partnership with Heatley Secondary College in Townsville, which is very, very exciting. They've got a fossil club up and going that we've only just started in the last, say, 6 months. But school groups can certainly come out. What I suggest is they come out for a couple of days. Come out, we'll do a museum tour so that I can explain what the creatures are and what we're looking for. And then I can take them out to the dig pits and we can do our own digging sort of program. And it can be as long or as short as you like. I've got Spinifex School coming out in May. They'll come out on a Sunday afternoon and have a museum tour. And then on Monday morning, I'll take them out to the dig pits till about lunchtime, and then they'll head back to Mount Isa. But essentially, whatever your school wants, we will do. Within reason, obviously.
Fair enough. Actually, one of the ones that grabbed my mind, I went, oh, that looks kind of cool. And just as the name, it sounds fun. CSI Digs. I mean, what's all that about?
So CSI Digs is a bit of a play on the crime scene investigation. Every year we have a big dig, which goes for a week or from Monday to Friday, really. So, and with that, we take you out to a place, and it's essentially... it's a two-way street. So we give the paying members of the public the opportunity to participate in an actual paleontology science dig. And in return, they give us their time, their energy, and their muscles in helping us to retrieve this rather large specimen. Whilst we can't guarantee that it will be a large specimen, what we think will be a large specimen. So, for example, last year we went out to a place just to the northwest of here and we extracted perhaps 50% of an elasmosaur, which is kind of like it's a marine reptile that's...
Is it the one that sort of looks like Nessie?
Yes, 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 yes. I was just about to say that. It looks like the Loch Ness Monster if and when that was alive, and I'm more than happy for people to prove that it is.
Yeah, I've heard that, and I'd love to actually, people, if you happen to be an expert in Scottish lore, I've heard that it's a sturgeon or something like that that's causing all the ruckus, but then again, I'd love to hear from people who have seen it. It'd be very interesting. Anyway, we digress.
We do. So that's our CSI dig. We've got packages, so you can come out and just pay for the dig, or we can put together an accommodation and food package for you. I do have mothers and or parents with their teenagers coming on this dig this year. I've got if you're interested to come out with your teenager, for example, please get in contact with me. I'm sort of looking at it on a case-by-case basis. I know that with other digs, you've got to be 12 and over. And the the Australian Age of Dinosaurs dig has certain age restrictions on it as well. But to be honest, I'm happy to work with you on a case-by-case basis to accommodate your needs.
Yeah, and that's really cool. I mean, obviously, you need to protect the fossils. I mean, that's paramount. I mean, that's what the museum primarily has to do. The fact that you're looking at engagement that way, that's just awesome. And fantastic. And actually, just out of interest, if someone wanted to follow in your footsteps, so to speak, so firstly, they've got to go to the Ecker and go find a fossil and get expired.
Absolutely.
That's the first part. But, I mean, I know, even in amongst physics, we've got a number of dinosaur nuts. We've always said that the fossil people, and I know marine reptiles aren't dinosaurs, but they still are very, very cool fossils. It's still a very narrow field to jump on in and therefore highly competitive. How do you get involved with this from the ground up?
Okay, so I think that you just need to make contacts and build on opportunities that are given to you. So I'm more than happy to pass on opportunities that have been given to me to other like-minded people. You don't have to be, you know, the smartest kid at school. You don't have to be, just because you might have some learning difficulties or things like that, it doesn't mean nothing. You've just got to have the passion. You've got to be a bit out there and search for opportunities, and then you've got to take up those opportunities.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And definitely, I mean, obviously, based on that, people are going to need to get in touch with you, right?
Absolutely.
So how would they do that?
Okay, so if they there's a couple of ways. They can go to Kronosaurus Corner, our website. Now that's Kronosaurus with a K and Corner with a K. My email is curator, curator, at kronosauruscorner.com.au. Or alternatively, they can give us a call at the museum. Our number is 1300 576 665.
Absolutely. And if you're overseas too, put +61 on the front of that, or you might have a bit of trouble getting in. You'll be able to get that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, I'm more than happy for people to get in contact with me. I'm more than happy for people with crazy, crazy ideas to get in contact with me. For example, one of the target markets that I really want to look at is the distance ed kids, like the School of the Air. Yep. And also all of those home education or the homeschooled kids, they're homeschooled for whatever reason, but is there any reason why a whole bunch of homeschooled kids can't come out and have a camp out here for a week?
Yeah.
Learn about paleontology.
That would be awesome. I mean, I think the camps, especially when you've got to make let's be honest, it's outback Queensland, which means you've got to make a genuine effort to get out there. So if you're going to do that, you might as well stay there for a while and do some real deep dive in on that subject that you're studying, which in this case is stuff that dives once upon a time. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, I mean, there's also the opportunities, I guess, also too, for people to connect with you via this thing called the interweb, the internet, which can connect in different ways too, which who knows what might be coming up in the future, where you might be able to connect from your school or your homeschool lounge room. into where you are at the museum in Richmond, which is very, very cool.
I'm actually already doing that, Ben. I am. There's a little cluster of six one-teacher schools between Townsville Air and Charters Towers. They came out for a dig last year for a camp. They did the Dinosaur Trail, which is Hughenden, Richmond and Winton. And following that, it was such a privilege, but I was invited into their classroom once a week for their earth science lessons. And I jumped on in via the internet. It was just incredible. Absolutely incredible.
It's great fun. In fact, actually, like tonight, like I had to have an early night last night because tonight I've got to do a connection to a school in Tennessee. Starting at 1 a.m. and it finishes at 4:30 a.m. So I'm going to put the swag in the office to sleep.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, it's a bit of a side thing. But, yeah, look, it's good fun. And, you're obviously doing a major role in getting paleontology out there and more visible and, more importantly, showing Australia's heritage, because it is. It's a heritage object that you're also showing too, which is fantastic.
It is.
Hey, Michelle, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast. Have a fantastic day. And undoubtedly, we'll catch up again soon.
That sounds fantastic. Thanks so much, Ben.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're all about science, ed tech and more. To see 100 fun free experiments you can do with your class, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S. And click 100 free experiments.
Well, there you go. There's someone highly passionate. You can really hear that Michelle Johnson loves what she gets to do. And the fact that she really stumbled on an ammonite fossil at the Brisbane show at the ECHA, and that launched her onto this career path, which now has her as a curator. What a way, what a sliding doors moment. That's just so very, very cool. But not only that, she's doing obviously a fantastic job for paleontology, but she's also doing a fantastic job for the township of Richmond and the surrounding communities at Hughenden and Winton. That area loves the dinosaur trail. Having people come out and visit them is very, very important. It's not just about paleo tourism though. It's also about genuinely decent science, and the fact that the education community can get involved, that is just awesome. So, I really encourage you getting in touch with her. It's very much worth your time.
Hi guys. Looking for more science with an Australian twist? Well, you're in luck, because here at Physics, we're launching a fresh take on science in the upcoming podcast, Physics Twist. Get up to speed on the latest science and tech news, where we look at what these discoveries might mean for all of us. Powered by the Physics Education team, Physics Twist highlights the most interesting, and sometimes the funniest side of what's happening in our world. We're kicking off in a few weeks, so stay tuned. See you then.
You might have remembered this chat I had a couple of weeks ago when I spoke with Stephen Rumbold from the Australian Age of Dinosaurs Museum. Now, they're not that far away from Richmond in Queensland. They're in Winton instead, and they've been finding dinosaurs out of the ground. Now, I went into how to make a simple fossil, and it's really done out of dough. It's actually pretty easy to do. And I thought that in this case, let's go a little bit further and look at what else can you explore. Now, one of the things that's very much well noted is often the hard objects, the hard bones and things and shells and claws and all that sort of stuff that tends to turn into a fossil. So here's a simple experiment you can do to show students that, well, if you can actually remove the hardness out of some of these things. This is actually a classic one. It's known as the rubber chicken bones experiment. And all you need is some vinegar and some clean chicken bones. So next time you go and have KFC or whatever however you get your chickens, save the bones. And what you can do is you can clean them up, get rid of all the muscle and the tissue and the sinews and all that sort of stuff. And once you've done that, place them in some vinegar, and not just for a little while. Let them soak in vinegar for at least a day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, for however long you need to do until it becomes soft and bendable. In fact, if you leave it for long enough, you may even find that the chicken bones themselves can even be tied into knots. Seriously, you can tie them into knots. Now, if you can tie them in a knot or at least bend them, why don't you take them out of the vinegar, then leave them outside for a while, and what will actually happen is they'll start to harden as they reabsorb carbon from the carbon dioxide in the air. Now, what is going on? You see, vinegar is a mild acid. It's acidic, and bones they're roughly made out of 10% calcium carbonate. Now, calcium carbonate forms a framework on which the bone grows itself, and as the bone soaks in vinegar, the calcium carbonate that's within the bone reacts with the vinegar, and that's why you see little bubbles all the way along your little chicken bone, and it's actually reacting, and it's really breaking it down. It's breaking down that hard matrix that makes up the bone. Now imagine showing this to kids and saying, well, will this form a fossil just as well as a standard hard bone? And the answer is Nope, not a chance.
You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. Why don't you book us for a science show or workshop in your school? We love seeing students get excited about science, and you will too. Go to physicseducation.com.au and click on schools for more info.
I really love it when we get to speak with people like Michelle Johnson who are following their dream and making a genuine difference. And last week, someone was also doing that, Sian Keyes.
What was really powerful was that during National Science Week, those participants actually ran a science hands-on workshop for the Canberra community, which was absolutely incredible and kind of challenged people's ideas about who does science and who science is for, because they were the ones teaching everyone else science.
It's well worth checking out last week's episode with Sian Keyes because she's heading up Science Ability, which is all about helping people with intellectual disabilities not only do science experiments, but importantly, lead the science lessons themselves. It was very, very cool. And they got a bunch of awards back for National Science Week last year in 2017. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. But anyway, we are at the end of this podcast. I hope you've had a bit of fun with us. It was great to speak with Michelle Johnson, but we have more guests on the way. But until then, I hope you're making your science lessons awesome and fun and engaging and all those types of things, because that's what the learners really, really want. You've been listening to me, Ben Newsom from Physics Education, and you've been listening to the PhysEd podcast. I'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to another Physics Ed podcast. We're excited about science. Subscribe to us on iTunes to download the next episode as soon as it's released. And don't forget, for hundreds of ideas, free experiments, our new Be Amazing book and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S.